Welcome to Beneath the Calm. I'm Jacinta Yang, your host. This is our third episode, a space where we get together and explore what's happening when the world is not watching. Today I'm sitting down with Ivan Leung. With him, we'll have a conversation that is going to be one of the most important one of this show. Ivan's story challenges us to what we think and know about strength and who the victim can be. And to also know what the calm exterior represent, it's what's behind or beneath that calm that we're struggling, that's deeply emotional and damaging. Ivan's story encourages us. Ivan's going to share his story about how he recognized his struggles that he went through and how he overcame and the courage to leave his abusive situation. It's both heartbreaking and inspiring, and I'd like to thank Ivan for joining us today to share with us. And whether you are someone who is understanding what your story is, or question, or feel trapped, or in a situation, I want to understand, better understand the hidden struggle people face, this conversation is for you. Ivan, I want to thank you for joining us today. And I have to say, your story was what inspired me to create this space. So welcome to Beneath the Calm, and please tell us about yourself and also a little bit about your story of what we went through and the reason why I invited you here today. Welcome, Ivan.
Sure. Hello, Jacinta. Of course, these are stories that in my mind is all over the map. You never know when the story begins, although you know how it ends. And it's one of those things that creep up along during your life. So I'm going to say that at first the relationship seems really good. And I didn't even recognize that it was abusive because I'm just holding it together. I'm doing things to keep things smooth. I'm doing my own thing. And so if situations get difficult, I just deal with them. So I don't recognize what abuse looks like until others recognize it and let me know. So what I'm doing is I'm working on a relationship, and it takes others outside to recognize that it's futile. So that's really how it is for me,
Okay,
or how it was for me.
so you and I have been working together for quite some time with your whole family as clients. Tell us about how comfortable you felt reaching out to me during those difficult times. What made it easy for you to share what was really happening?
Well, to be frank, it wasn't so much it was easy. I got introduced to you because at that time my ex was seeing you and talking to you. And at that particular time, I wasn't particularly interested, but she encouraged me to do so. And so I did because I was not recognizing at that time, somewhat forced to. But in talking to you, then eventually, it was you who started pointing out these things to me. And it wasn't easy to recognize, but it took a little while. And then, obviously, as you open up or you peel back one layer of the onion, I begin to see another, and I begin to see another. So it was a very gradual process. And even learning to listen and talk to you was a very gradual process. I didn't just open up
Yes, I
because
know.
I wasn't used to opening up like that. But with little nuggets that you encouraged, and then of course, if you asked a question, I didn't avoid it, So I give something back. And every time I gave something back, it just peeled back another layer. So that's really how it went. It was a gradual process of understanding what was going on.
Yeah, I remember you would text me regularly for guidance, and I always used to encourage you to be patient, to be kind, to be compassionate. And can you describe what those conversations meant to you during those confusing and isolating times?
So it was confusing in the beginning because I did all those things. I was kind and I was following the advice. But in hindsight, it was all just it was kind of a wasted effort because I felt as if I was being manipulated by my ex to be like that. So of course, without you fully understanding, because at that time I hadn't shared everything, the natural tendency is, well, be kind, be more understanding. But in fact, that was really futile because whatever I did, it wasn't going to work. So my ex was bent on destroying the relationship, and I wasn't aware of that at the time.
Well, I guess at that time I didn't really know the full story, so
Correct.
the only thing I could do is encourage you to have patience, to be more patient, to be more compassionate. Now that you mentioned that I've helped you recognize that you were experiencing emotional abuse, can you take us through that process a little bit more, please?
Well, I was still in the process of trying to find a way to keep it all together. And it really just got to the point where I was like saying, this is crazy. I said, I'm doing everything to keep it together, but she's not. What's the next step? And it was really you at that time that says, well, then you walk away. And it really hit me hard because that wasn't what I wanted at the time. I said, but that's just like it's giving up on it. And it was really a conversation that you gave that I need to hold on to my own dignity too. Because this wasn't, you never used the word abuse at the time,
No.
but certainly it was more focused because you were focused on me. It was really, I need to hold my own dignity. I gotta make a stand and I gotta draw a line in the sand and say, this is enough. And it never occurred to me before that there was a line that there was, it felt as if this line was just going to keep on moving and I was okay with it.
Yeah, actually, I think because I was a holistic or healer for your family, and I had to see from the outside and have an approach that was not taking anybody's side. So I needed to understand the whole situation. Of course, I was hearing different side of the story, and then, it was not easy for me to really make any kind of judgment call at that time. So you mentioned that. Now, I want to ask you, as a man, do you have a preconceived notion what abuse looked like, and how did that affect your ability to recognize emotional abuse initially?
I had no idea what abuse looks like. In my view, as a man, abuse is a physical abuse. So obviously, there was no physical abuse. And so I didn't recognize it as abuse. I just recognized this as a disagreement and someone being difficult. But to me, it wasn't abuse. It was, I mean, I could have fought back and I did, and we could have argued. And it's just that the conversations would just never get anywhere. There was just, it never ended off well. There was never any resolution to it. But to me, it wasn't abuse. So it didn't land as abuse. And it really took someone from the outside the first time to really say, this is abuse. And I didn't recognize it as abuse. So really, that's what it is. As a man, you don't recognize it as abuse because we just tend to fix things.
Oh, also, I guess as a man, you think that abuse is more physical,
Correct.
harm.
Yes, it's physical harm. So obviously, I mean, in that situation, there was nothing my spouse could do that could physically harm me. But actually, in hindsight, that was even worse because not being able to get any sleep and rest and peace actually turns out to be worse than physical.
Oh yeah, I remember those late
Yeah.
night tests. And you wondered, oh, how come you're still up? Well, you texted me for some support. I mean, now,
Yeah,
obviously you
because.
weren't expecting a response, but I guess I do take supporting someone very seriously, and I could sense and feel your I guess urgency and some support.
Yes, I wasn't expecting a reply at early hours of the morning, but I just needed to get something on because otherwise it was, when you're under stress, you just need to communicate with something.
So I recall, I know you mentioned that you didn't recognize that it's abuse, right? And also partially, I think you were also trying to keep everything, to yourself other than me and probably a couple of
Oh,
friends.
totally. This is not something that I share easily, and I don't particularly think any man shares this with anybody really. It's almost as if society just doesn't allow a man to speak. Now, we can speak, but it's in a somewhat of a joking fashion to your friends. It's like a something like I got yelled at my wife, and everybody goes, "Oh yeah, so did I." So it's really spoken at that level. Nobody really takes it that seriously. So
With
to
humor.
actually know what it looks like, it's not easy because not everybody shares it at that level.
No, and that's actually part of the reason why I feel that I needed to create a space for men to feel that there is a space for them to be seen, to be heard, and not be judged. And I know that you had mentioned at that time that you felt like you needed to work this out because this is your second marriage and you don't want to be a failure. Can you explain that a little bit, please?
Oh, that's correct. So, I mean, at least with me, I didn't want the first one to fail, but it happened. So when it comes to the second one, I really didn't want to have to go through this again. And there's a certain level I just didn't want to be a disappointment to family around me. So that's why I didn't want this to be a failure. I was determined to make this work. But not only was it an uphill battle, it was actually a no-go.
Looking back, we're laughing at it now, but back then, oh boy, it was tough. I mean, for you
Yes, it
and
was
for
tough.
me as
So
well.
coming back to it, the other reason we don't recognize abuse is because I've never seen it before. We tend to see it as a joke when other people talk about it because you don't know how serious it is. Now, it's not to say that I haven't spoken to other people or other men, for example, who talk about, how they are treated. But I don't know if any of us are ever in the space to say, well, then just get out of there. Most of us go, oh, yeah, we got the same thing. But we don't understand the degree of how deep it goes. And what's involved. And I think that most men just ride it out.
Thank you, Ivan. We're going to be going on a short break and then we'll come back and continue.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Lurice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to Beneath the Calm, a space where we have conversation about life matters, CALM, a space where you can share your stories, where you feel seen, heard, and not judged. Today we're sitting with Ivan. Welcome back, Ivan. And some more questions. Now, you were afraid to take action, weren't you? Can you describe what you were afraid of? I know I had to give you some really direct advice. I told you, you have the balls, literally use them. So what was that going through your mind when I said that to you? Unmute.
When I look back, the biggest fear really is it's the social circles around me. I guess ultimately it's, I didn't want it to fail because I didn't want the people around me to think that I was a failure at this. So that would be the biggest fear. And I suppose there's also fear of the immediate family around who not everybody is totally aware of it, only the people who could see it. And nobody really knew the extent of what I was going through, because obviously this is not something that I would even give to the closest of people until it's very obvious. Mm-hmm. So the fear is really how we are perceived. And I really didn't want to have to be perceived as a second round failure. So that was really the biggest fear.
But you know, this is actually not your doing of being failing, because you tried everything. I know you've tried everything.
Yes, but that's just my perception. From my viewpoint, that's what I can deal with. Mm-hmm. I don't really, there's no way we can control how the outside is treating us. You can only react in that particular mm-hmm. situation. And my reaction was just, I'm just going to hold on. Mm-hmm.
I guess you thought that you'll be seen as a failure, not knowing that people can actually understand.
Absolutely correct. It's all about, at that moment when it feels as if all the spotlights are on me only. Mm-hmm. And it never even occurred to me that people could look at this and say, it's not you, it's the other mm-hmm. side. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's how you would see it, because it's almost as if you could feel like you don't want to be the victim, but you know you are, but you don't want to be seen as the victim.
Oh, you don't want to acknowledge at that time that
you absolutely were the victim. Absolutely.
And also, I know the biggest struggle you had was to share it with your parents, because there was a time where I know that your ex was trying to cut off all your lifeline, and that was including me, and I was trying to make sure you had a lifeline, and asked you to share with your parents. Even you had struggles trying to share with your parents, but I did encourage you to let you know that I'm sure they will support you. Can you share with us about that,
please? Oh, that's absolutely true. I was trying to hide it from my parents. So there's a cultural issue here involved as well, that they were, from my point of view, they would not be supportive of me running away or moving out of this. Of course, that was just my perception. And was I wrong? And it's not so much that they were going to counsel me out, but obviously they didn't want to see me have to go through a divorce a second time. So from their point of view, they weren't going to jump in and counsel me out, but obviously they didn't want to see me suffer either way. Looking at it backwards now, of course they were supporting me. And it turns out that, you know, had I been completely open with them at the time, they would have counseled me out.
Yeah, they would have.
But I just could not see it, because I envisaged, or I anticipated, that they would first have to go past this mental block. And it just, to me, seemed insurmountable for them. But it turns out it would have been a hurdle, but they would have climbed it for me.
Yes, I know both your parents are just amazing. They are such amazing role model for you. And that's why you were such an amazing, kind, caring husband that you were. Unfortunately, the other side didn't see it. Yeah. And I'm just so glad that you have that support. And I'm glad that finally you did share with them. Because, I mean, there was a time that I had to step back because I became collateral damage in your
situation. It turns out that my dad sort of like... I don't think he was even fazed, you know.
So they could see it. They were just respecting your privacy.
Correct.
So by not asking you.
Sure.
I know that our parents sometimes, when they feel like, okay, they're not saying anything to us, so we're going to respect their privacy, which I feel I felt that they were doing. And yeah. I know I tried so hard to encourage you to talk to them.
So absolutely, you were correct, but I couldn't see it at the time. And I think that also when there's too much pressure on us at that time, no matter how, our headlights just do not go far ahead enough.
And I can relate to that, because we are both from the same culture. Mm-hmm. And while I was in my situation also, I used to feel that, you know, talking to our parents is not going to help, because they expect us to stay and suffer. Because
yes,
there was no such thing as
in their time,
speaking about abuse,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's a very private matter, and you don't share. It's kind of embarrassing to share such a situation with the public. Anyhow, how can you say that with the ongoing support and guidance from me affect your ability to make such a difficult decision?
I think firstly we have to be able to express ourselves and know that someone's listening.
Mm-hmm.
Because in general, even though I had probably joked about this before, no one's really listening. It turns out to be something of a joke. So until someone really understands, to help, in my case, me understand. So I needed to talk to somebody to help me understand that there is a bigger world out there, and there are other issues around, that it's not just me. So I think really at the end of the day, it's just to understand I had to understand that it wasn't me that was the problem. So the biggest thing is to stop blaming myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing, the other big thing is then to also understand that I really was doing more than I needed to do to hold this thing together. But, you know, I didn't know that, because it felt as if walking into a relationship, it feels as if you're going to hold it together no matter what. But even that, no matter what, has a line, and that line is when there's respect that has been lost.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a matter of course, you can hold it together if there's respect. But when that respect line disappears, then there's no particular point.
And I know, like from working with you, I have to say, Ivan, you have done a lot more. You've given a lot more from your end than most relationship that I have observed. So I used to shake my head and wonder how the other party could not recognize the gold mine she was sitting with, you know? Anyhow, so can you please help our listeners understand how this invisible abuse was affecting every aspect of your life, your confidence, your relationship with your children, your sense of self? I know your relationship with your children was great. In fact, they could see that you were going through abuse, but you were still not acknowledging it.
Yeah, the invisible abuse comes, and it looks like this, because the abuse is that they need 100% attention, or should I say 200% attention. And if it's 99 because 1% goes elsewhere, then the abuse steps up. But in life and in reality, you can give 100% at a point, but if there's a squeal from, let's just say, your parents or your kids or your friends, then you need to do some other stuff, because there's times when people need to look after themselves for a while. So the abuse looks like I couldn't leave the house, because if I went shopping, it's if even for groceries, it would be, where did you go? And then it looks even worse. I didn't want to come home because I knew that I'd be subjected to even more questioning. So there's a huge stress in being there, and there's a huge stress in not being there. So which means that really there's a certain amount of conscious effort all the time in staying firm, in trying to control the situation, which really means it takes away your energy to do other things. So, for example, it takes away your energy to perhaps go out and see friends. You'd rather not, because you know if you come back, you're going to be subject to some sort of
interrogation.
That's right. Or it takes away from even an ability to go. For example, I love golfing. I couldn't golf in peace because it's like 4 hours and the round is not over. I know when I go back, it's going to be a disaster. So that spoils the game. And so this emotional abuse actually destroys your ability to be present, because you're not present. You're living in what's going to happen, what you need to face when you're there. And then you're also living in the past as what you've been through. So you're never here. You're everywhere but here.
And you cannot really enjoy.
You can't. You can't. And so you're either preventing what could happen, or you're setting up so that it doesn't happen. So you just can't be present. And that's a big waste of life.
Yeah, and it's draining.
It's absolutely draining. So it takes away from your sleep. It takes away from just your ability to be happy. Yeah.
We're going to be taking a break again, and we'll come back shortly.
Misalignment within your sales team or with a client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Beneath the Calm. Thank you for joining us today, sitting with Ivan on this very eye-opening conversation about abuse men usually go through, but they keep quiet. And that's what Beneath the Calm, going through, keeping a calm exterior and composed, but struggling underneath that. And I'd like to encourage those who are listening to this, please know that there is support out there for you. You just need to reach out. Welcome back, Ivan. I am so grateful that you're here sharing your story to encourage other men to know that it's okay. It's okay to be going through what you're going through, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Now, what would you like to say to the listener right now, and recognizing themselves in your story? And what would you tell them that is important, having someone, a trusted guide, to help them see clearly?
Yeah, I think that someone who feels this way really just needs the help to identify, to be able to identify if it really is abuse or not, okay? Because we don't know where this line is. So, I mean, it could be that, to be fair, I suppose it could be that it was my fault for perhaps not doing my side of what was expected. And so maybe there needs to be an understanding of what I should be doing, and that's why the other side is unhappy. So we need to get past that. Am I doing my part? And then after that, it's like, well, if I'm doing my part, is the other side doing their part? So I think that we need to talk to someone to identify where that line is. We don't always know when we walk into a relationship, because there's a certain maybe level of understanding, we think, that generally people know where the line is, and even if there's a big gray area, you have an idea where that gray area is, and you talk about maybe, you know, what I would do to make things better or how you deal with conflicts. But until you get to that stage, you really don't know. So once you get to that stage and you're trying to resolve conflict, now, how far should we go? Do we really go to the end of the world or not? In general, it would seem as if everybody should do their best. But what is the best? And what is beyond? So talking to somebody will help resolve that issue. And until we can identify and say, this is really crazy, it seems like nobody goes through this much, then we can begin to make the next decision. So in this particular case, basically, Jacinta, you canceled me out, which boggled my mind at the time, because you would think that someone who is helping you would find a way to resolve the issue, and we always think it's going to put everything back together. Well, in this particular case, I thank you for giving the courage to say it's time to jump ship. And I remember it was like, that's the opposite way. That's the wrong way around. But that was absolutely the right decision. You know, it turns out at the end, I actually didn't have to jump ship, because she just blew the ship up for me. So that made the decision easier, because jumping ship still would make it feel as if I'm the one that quit.
Yes.
And if I think back, it would probably get there anyway. I would be the one that was going to quit, but it may have taken even longer, which really meant that the suffering would be longer. So there's a point at which, you know, how do you kill a chicken? Mm-hmm. You know, you take it by the neck and just absolutely wrench it. Because if you bend it slowly, well, the squawking is not going to make it any easier. The chicken probably wouldn't die quickly. So in this particular case, the ship was blown out the water. Perfect. So I got the escape clause, and I kind of got out of there guilt-free because I didn't pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
But in looking back, it was inevitable. If she didn't pull the trigger, I would have to, for my own sanity.
Actually, I have to say that as difficult as it was when she blew things up, that I guess affected a lot of those around you. And it helped you, even though at first I still think you were thinking that you want to try to make it work. But I've watched you, I've counseled you, and I know you have tried everything you could to make it work. And that was a time when I said, okay, you know what? You can't change the other person, but you can change your own situation. And that's what I had to tell you, not that I wanted.
I think that I would never have come to that stage. And because I couldn't see that there was a way out.
Mm-hmm.
I almost felt as if I'd made my own bed. So that is my bed. I'm going to stay there.
You've got to lie in it.
So yeah, so I really needed a kick to get out of there. And I don't know how other people feel, but I think that a lot of us would be similar. Of course, you always hear about people who just, you know, who just walk out. Yes. But, you know, I you got to consider also that I wasn't exactly 25. If I was 25 years old, maybe I'd say, well, then, okay, let's walk out of here, you know. So being a fairly sort of like a older person, it wasn't something that we would just wanted to walk out on, because the next question is, what else is ahead out there? You know, could there be just as rough seas? So there's too many uncertainties, and I'd already retired by then. So I didn't feel like I wanted to restart. But there's just there's the fear of the unknown. And with support, if someone can just be there and say, don't fear, there's a huge world of opportunities out there. And if I could have seen that at the time, maybe it would have been easier to walk out. But in any event, there was just so much fear and there was so much stress that I couldn't see very far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, did I need someone to help me shine a light? Yes. And I suppose I'm going to say that was your job.
I guess I did my job well. Okay. So anyway, in your case, I have to say you got a little lucky, because the ship was blown right under our faces. But
and it came so unexpectedly, yes.
For those who don't have this opportunity, what would you tell them how to deal with it or get out of it?
Oh, everything is 2020 with hindsight. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I would have to say, just get an understanding of where the level of abuse is. Is this reasonable, or is just this your imagination, or is it real? Once we've passed that stage, assuming that it's real, there is only one solution. You've got to get out of there.
I guess the only way to know whether it is our imagination or it's not our imagination is actually by talking to someone outside
Correct.
Of yourself.
Correct.
And actually, what I like to share with our audience, so beautiful ending story to your story. So I just want to let our listeners know that in spite of having gone through what you went through, you are now in a beautiful place. So please share that.
Oh, yeah. So the beautiful place is that once I got through all of this and settled down, then my eyes are opened. Then new possibilities arise. I meet new people. And with what I've learned, I see things so much more differently. And so now I'm in a new relationship. It's just fabulous, is all I can say. And having navigated this very difficult course before, it helps me see things differently. Now, I don't wish anybody has gone through this before, but I will say that there really is light at the end of the tunnel. And an experience like this, it's like everything else. It makes a person grow.
Yes. And I have to say, it's been such a pleasure to actually see a beautiful light at the end of your tunnel. And thank you for inviting me to your wedding. And she's amazing. You've met a really beautiful, wonderful woman that you so deserve. And I just want the listeners to know there is light in the tunnel, and there is a possibility. It doesn't matter your age. And Ivan, you were what, 60 when this happened?
Yes, I was 60 when this happened, yeah. And this is 5 years ago.
And then now you're in a happy relationship and enjoying life. So it's well worth leaving that...
Oh, totally. So it's now home is a place of safety, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the big thing, you know, before home wasn't a place of safety.
Yes, yes. So what would you like to say, a takeaway for our listeners, please?
A takeaway is to be able to find the support, somebody just to help you understand. And looking back now, we all need to find an understanding of where this line of abuse shows up. And we really need to know whether it's in our own minds or whether there's something that is intolerable. Like Jacinta did say, that if the other side cannot be changed, then there's no particular point in moving forward, because it's going to be a lifelong ball and chain, and that's not where we're destined for. We're really not destined to be in hell before we get the chance to earn it, you know? So the conversation here is we need to find some help. And that help has to be in the form of someone listening to help us find this line, you know? And it's not a line that we draw. It has to be a line that someone shows us, because mm-hmm. we will never recognize that line.
I'd like to thank our listeners for joining today. And thank you, Ivan, for sharing your story. I recall asking you that someday I'd like you to share your story to help other people, just as I've been sharing my story to help others. And I am so glad and happy that you are now in a very happy place.
Oh,
it really
you.
Brings me joy to see, you know, a beautiful relationship that you have now.
Thank you.
And until next time, bye. Oops.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to serving up success with a splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving up success with a splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
Cheers!
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. We still have a little bit more time, Ivan. Thank you for joining us today. And you mentioned when you are out and talking with guys, and oftentimes you would say, oh, no, I went through this. And you guys would just, I guess, humorously say, oh, I'm going through that. Now, having gone through what you went through, and when you hear that, would you take that as a joke, or would you at least consider listening into their story and perhaps maybe be a guide for them? Because you've gone through it. You know some of the signs to recognize.
You know, even until today, I wouldn't necessarily poke my nose into someone else's business because I wouldn't know the level of, at least call it imagined abuse or real abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And even till today, I would never approach someone unless I really knew them very well.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't be something I would do casually. So I wouldn't, for example, be casually talking to someone on the golf course and decide that, oh, this is a case I could help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was someone I knew well, yes, I'd definitely step in and say, you need some help.
Mm-hmm.
And so would I help somebody? Yes, if I knew them well. Because really, at a very superficial level, It's a joke with most guys talking. It's kind of like, even I just heard this the other day. Someone was saying his dog was barking and his wife got mad and said, you know, it's your fault. And he goes, why is it my fault if the dog is barking? Well, the wife would say, well, you should have trained the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this would be something that it feels like everybody goes through.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at what point is that abuse, or at what point is that just someone being a little bit having an off day? Or
mm-hmm.
perhaps it's just a comment. There's
mm-hmm.
just no way to gauge. But if, for example, I was really seeing my best friend having to go through what I went through, I would definitely step in there and say, get the hell out of there.
Mm-hmm. But that's, you're saying you feel more comfortable. But then, you know, maybe sometimes a stranger might feel comfortable talking to a stranger because they don't know you, but just, you know, maybe in a jokingly, but do you think there's a possibility that you can try to gauge whether that was a joke or it was somebody just trying to share something because he needed to share something?
Yes. If someone needed to hear, so it has happened before, and it was a friend who and so, you know, for most of us, it's whether our listening ears are actually tuned in properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we really listening for a cry for help? Or are we just listening to someone who just happens to want to let off some steam? So, you know, we don't always have our antennas pulled out and listening carefully, which is probably half the fault of just us living our own lives. Are we really present to what people are asking? But if you're asking if we recognize someone who is asking for help, would I help? Of course, because this type of stuff is really, it's too difficult. It's real and it's too difficult. So would I help someone if I heard the cry? Absolutely. Now, the question remains, though, do they want to be helped? Now, that one is really up to them. So do I happen to know someone who released the cry of help? Yes. And I said, I'm here. If you need, you know, let me know. And then the answer was something like, I'll speak to you when I need to. And then, well, you know, I'm not going to pull his teeth out for that.
Yeah. See, let's just say, for instance, somebody was joking with you. As you say, men like to joke that they are going through that, right? Mm-hmm. To just kind of get it out. But at the same time, there's a little bit seriousness to that. So is it possible that you can sort of say, yeah, you know what? All joking aside, if you ever need to talk to someone, I'm here. Do you think it's something that you can do?
Oh, yes, I could easily do that. And you know, somebody did that to me, even though it was after the blow up. Someone came to talk to me and said, what's your story? And at that time, of course, you know, they were in all the smoke and in all the trouble that was going on, I opened up to him. And he just looked at me and says, I went through the same thing. I think you're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Just the ability for someone to look at me and say, I get it, really made me feel a lot better.
But he was not your friend.
It was just somebody I knew.
Yeah, but not a friend. Like you said, if it was a close friend, you'd see it, right?
That's right. It wasn't even a close friend. And I had no idea that he had gone through a similar thing.
But just the fact that he's someone that you just happen to know, not a good friend, just asked you what your story. Maybe it's something
that... Well, because he had heard from someone else, you know, and he only knew a little bit. And he absolutely just pulled me aside and said, what's your story? And when I told him, he kind of said, I went through the same thing. And he kind of listed, this happened to me, this happened to me, this happened. And then all of a sudden you realize that your story, at least in my case, in my story, it wasn't the one and only. Mm-hmm. Once we get that we are not the one most unique thing in the world, and that this happens to so many others, then it's kind of the stigma falls away. Then it's easier to say, go and get help, go and talk to someone. You're not the only one. It's happened to A, B, C, D, and E. And then it's like, oh, okay.
But that, even just that one little bit, helped you to know that you're not the one.
A huge difference, especially when someone says, you know, my story was fairly similar and this happened. And they'll go, oh, yeah, actually, it happened to me too. I just forgot to tell you about that part, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I guess my request to you is that when you're out and about playing your golf or playing your tennis and, you know, you hear this, even though in a joking way, and is it possible to have your antennas up a little bit? Maybe,
but I'll say that
your story can help a lot.
I'll say that my antennas are up because when it comes to something like this, it's always up. The question was, if I'd never been through something like this, and then you're dead to it, you know? Once you've been through it, you'll see this. So for me, I actually see it very easily now because it's
like... You can see the signs.
Oh, absolutely. Once you've been through it, it's kind of like you've watched this movie before.
I'm so glad that your antennas are up because I know a lot of men can really benefit from a little bit of encouragement or a little word of support from you. And especially with your beautiful ending story, that's very encouraging for a lot of people, I have to say, both for men and women.
I think so. Yeah. It doesn't end worse.
Yes.
Doesn't end.
It can only get better.
It can only get better.
And yours got really beautiful.
That's right. When you are rock bottom, the only place to look is up.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I want to once again thank you for your time and thank you for sharing your story with our listeners. And hopefully it will encourage some men or even women that are going through a similar story, struggling with their relationship, to take the step, take the courage and move forward.
I'd have to agree. I think a lot of women also put up with us there.
Yes.
They need to find out where that line is.
Yes. Well, I'm one of the survivors, like
yes.
You.
And so you have the antenna and you know where the line is, you see. So.
Well, I had the antenna with you, but I had to wait till you
You had to wait till I was ready. Yeah.
Yes. Exhaust all possible trials, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you once again, and I am so looking forward to seeing you all next time. Until next time, thank you for tuning in. Bye.
Bye.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.